No, we're going to spend a day or two on what Pentecost should have done and anyway, just as a review, at Passover the veil was rent, the sun was darkened, graves were opened, and it's finished. And the ascension came at that weird feast of Lag Ba'Omer. Now at Pentecost, there's the rushing wind, time ripped, and you could see the tongues of fire, the Spirit shed in all flesh, New Jerusalem came down from above, the earthly metropolis, in the Greek, in the Hebrew way of talking about it, they even say this, they say, the messianic age can't begin until a heavenly Matrona comes down and meets the earthly Matrona. Now, the Matrona meaning mother. So that happened. A new Jerusalem descended. The mother of us all descended. And that's our only reality. Should be. Now, we're seated with him on the mercy seat. We are, the place that we are seated is called the oracle of God, and if any man speak, let him speak as from the oracle of God. Christ is all and in all, and all things are of God. We have access direct at any time to the Holy of Holies. Jesus now is come in the flesh. Now, for the first time, we can have true fellowship. Fellowship isn't sitting around talking about Jesus. Fellowship is when, let's go there. 1 John for a second. First John chapter 1. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the idea, God's idea of fellowship is koinonia. It's two empty vessels that are now as one. And three, and four, and five, and ten, and thousands. They're as one, which could never happen before. But they're only as one as they're totally abandoned. If any self comes back into the picture, then that oneness leaves. Now the wild thing that happened besides this, the wild thing that happened on Pentecost, which we didn't talk about, was the confusion of languages. And let's look at the wording. Genesis 11.
I was just reading that if we walk in the light. That's the caveat you were just talking about. As he is in the light.
Then we see, but that's the case, then absolutely, that's why it says, if any man love gives breath to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Therefore, we're not walking in the light.
And the word light doesn't mean daytime.
No.
All
right, the whole world, the whole earth, was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burned them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, this was not that long after the flood, and they wanted to build a tower that was tall enough to be safe if another flood came. And they also wanted a tower that would be where they could always see the stars, the zodiac, so that they could... Well, that's another story I want
to
go back.
They call it being close to heaven, close to God?
No, they didn't want to get flooded again.
Yeah.
That's not the important part. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of Israel, the children of man, builded. And the Lord God said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now that was the caveat for God. That was a warning. Look, that can't happen again. Now, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do, because they are of one language, one thought. Now let's see, verse 7. Go to, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or confusion, because the Lord there did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. With your mind, you can never understand another person. Is that clear, or do you think you can understand each other? John?
Okay.
No, I'm saying, what do you mean, is it?
I'm trying to block that. If you,
huh?
I'm trying to understand that. What's your mind got to do with understanding somebody? It's not a whatever.
A mind is a vehicle by which... I'm not talking about understand like a word. I'm talking about understand the meaning. And that is the mind. Listen, he said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now this is why Pentecost is so important, because now, because you no longer imagine, you've brought every imagination into the captivity of Jesus Christ, every thought. So there's abandonment of self. That's what, if a man be my disciple, let him abandon himself, divorce himself. Now there's oneness, but the oneness is love in eternity. And they have no interest in building something on the earth. They have no interest in their own ideas. They have no interest in their own imagination. Now it's Christ alone.
I'm seeing the manifestation of that becomes cliques, little groups of people who think they understand each other. Common idolatry, you get a little moment where you think y'all are one in at least worshiping something.
Does this have to do with the language of light versus the language of darkness?
Yeah. Well, I mean that...
Some people speak... with light, others speak with darkness, and people that you think maybe are speaking with
Well, it's a whole lot of things. I believe in some scholars believe that Hebrew was the original language of man. But this is much more than just people speaking different languages. It's the idea that if this destruction of the Tower of Babel and the confusion of languages, it has much more meaning than simply speaking French or Italian or whatever. It has to do with the inability to be one with another person without you just stuffing half the stuff. Or maybe you agree, maybe you find somebody you can be that you understand without ignoring and stuffing.
Well, it's not just the language that will separate them, so they identify with particular cultures which separates them as well. I mean, this division is not just a communication division, it's...
Right, it's a whole lot of things. But it also includes the language. There's no real understanding between one person and another. There's some exceptions that appear to be where you have identical twins that have pretty close to perfect understanding of each other, but that's the only one. Certainly isn't in marriage.
Bingo.
Marriage is based on truces.
Stop.
Huh?
Stop.
You don't have truces in your marriage?
Yes, I do.
What?
Yes, I do.
Well, then why am I stopping this time? Language is not...
That's not what we're talking about.
In other words, you go to meddling.
No, but the point of it is that there is no one that understands another one. It's much more than just language.
Agreed.
All right.
I mean, in this room every morning we battle with that.
Right.
I battle with it every day, all day.
But all I'm trying to get at is this is much. It means much more than just the understanding of each other's language. That's what happened at Babel, and that happened on Pentecost. Now the next major thing that happened in Pentecost was the giving of the law, the Torah. And the next thing that happened was, and the major thing that happened, was Pentecost. I mean the final Pentecost, the one that fulfilled Pentecost. Now we have a situation we still... That's why you can't have fellowship unless you're both walking in the light. Because fellowship, by definition, is understanding each other. With one heart, one mind, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. Without any of the imagination getting in the way. The mind is gone because the mind is evil beyond evil.
But if no man understands another person, how can you have fellowship then?
Because it's based on the abandonment of self and the Holy Spirit in you. But he's only there when you abandon.
Well, let's go back to your initial. Let me go back to this. No man understands anyone else. No one comes from the same place. Everyone is different. Everyone.
Until the birth of the church at Pentecost.
Now we can do this.
If,
now we can.
If you're totally abandoned.
If we can have fellowship, if we're totally abandoned.
That's what it says.
Okay. Just following here.
And there's nothing in the world that you love. The verb love, give breath to. If any, let's go to 1 John 5 and see it another way.
The interesting part, you can't be in the light and have fellowship with someone in the dark. Both be in the light. That's where fellowship is.
Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Listen carefully to these words. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, the love of brethren is not something that has to ever be taught. It's automatic.
It's a what is.
What?
It's a what is. Here's how you do
it. And it's a tell in this cosmic poker game. But that's the fruit of Pentecost. Now, the other reading on Pentecost that's so critical is Ezekiel 1. And that describes this mystery of a body of people who are in that one state. Let's go there. Ezekiel 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. And now I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding in itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst there came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and the four had four faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left, and the four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and the two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with the four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and the forehead one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon the four sides, and they turned not when they went. And as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the vessels were lifted up, or the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went thither, and thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And when those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of beryl, crystal stretched forth over their heads. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one forward, the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, and the voice of the Almighty, and the voice of speech as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood that had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Like the appearance of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of the man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and had brightness round about it, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, what is that? That's a wild, unbelievable. It's not a helicopter. The face of an eagle mounting up with wings, no serpents, wherever the eagle is, no evil one. And the appearance of an ox, patient, endurance, obedience. And the face of a lion, fearless, bold, divine courage. And the face of a man, perfect humanity in Christ, faithful witness, fellowship with his suffering. They're all joined one to another, that they all may be one. They went, every one straight. I pressed toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They did not leave the way. They didn't make any side trips back to earth, back to time and space. It's a picture of the body of Christ, that weird, unnameable, unbelievable creature. The Spirit of God in the wheel of circumstances, abiding and moving with no friction. The Spirit was in the wheels. They moved together in perfect harmony. The wheels of circumstance working out his own will. And that's the only will of the body. No other will. You've abandoned the right to have a will. You've abandoned and divorced all of self. No more opinions, no more stands, no more tomorrows, no more past, only now. No thinking, it's only action. No considering, because the considering is done. You've seen that you know that you know. Living in the terrible crystal of God. This is what I wrote a long time ago. Living in this terrible crystal of God's presence. In light as he is in the light. no shady corners, no twisty ways, no policy, no tactics, no plan, no scheming, no deception, no procrastination, no thinking about it, only action. That's the fruit of Pentecost. Makes no sense to anybody. Mind can't comprehend it. This is why this reading is so important. A reading of Pentecost, describing the fruit of Pentecost. The only way there was 100% abandonment of self, being brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down every possible imagination and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You have no opinions about the world, no stands within the world. It means nothing, less than nothing. It's vanity upon vanity upon vanity. Description of the body of Christ. The question is, do you want to be in it or not? In this powerful, unbelievable description of what the body is, it costs you everything. Any response?
I like the answer about the spirit being in the wheels and where all of what God and Christ are about is worked out on the earth, where we tire reach the road, so to speak, and at that moment, that point, we live by the faith of the Son of God.
But it's total abandonment. This is another thing I wrote one time ago. What has happened in Christ, the deliverance, the resurrection, the ascension, has also happened in us. He has put on immortality, we have put on him, therefore we have put on immortality. His death is swallowed up in life, our death is swallowed up in his life. He is on the mercy seat and stays and remains. We are on the mercy seat and stay and remain. He defeated the evil one. We have defeated the evil one. The marriage supper of the Lamb is come. That's the fruit of Pentecost. Anybody else? This is crazy.
That's an amazing description of wheels within a wheel, of, you know, like little the satyrs within the larger satyrs.
Well, even the satyrs disappear in that.
Yeah.
Has to be repentance, Gary, for anything in the world. That's always the key.
Can you judge if you've repented?
Yes, you can judge. You can see if you've repented.
So the repentance doesn't mean anything.
What?
In that condition, repentance wouldn't mean anything.
In here?
Really,
that, no, the only ones that have totally repented are the ones that are in that wheel within a wheel.
Can they judge?
There's no more consciousness of self.
Addressing is judging what you're doing on this earth. If it's by God's hand, you repent. It's, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or
doing what you're doing if you take no thought for your life, no thought for what you're going to do next, no thought, you're abandoned.
And there's no judgment then. The point I'm making is people judge what they're doing, saying, well, I'm doing God's will or I'm not doing God's will.
If you're using your mind for what you're doing, you must repent and say, God, I don't know what else to do. I'm taking the lowest seat. But never, ever justify it.
Can you, for a moment, assume repentance has taken place?
Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody.
I am too.
But you can't assume that repentance is taking place if you haven't taken that position. In my opinion, you haven't taken that position publicly before the body. You have to always, it's because there's no more you, it's us.
How do you take that position before the body?
You can say, I'm doing this and that. I see that maybe it's not abandoned, but I don't know what else to do. I'm doing this and that. I may be using cause and effect, but I don't know what else to do.
So, is that repentance?
Yes. Then it's in God's hands, not self-justification. You're always abandoned. There can be no other way. There can be no, so again, but I've done it 100 times. I thought I was abandoned, and I started being concerned with something, and then I've confessed it a billion times. But that's why it has to be, all this has to be done in the Seder. This is what the Seder is about. This isn't a Seder. Anybody else? John? Take a big guy.